In a world of mindless movie cliches, one podcast fights back. Critics are calling it profound, epic, free. Prepare to revisit your video cassette memories of the 1980s and 90s. Behold, it's VHS Rewind.
Love that guitar.
You're listening to VHS Rewind. You know it when you hear that jam from Dorsey Burnett.
Dorsey Burnett. Who is this guy?
Never heard of him.
And why? and if you didn't know, folks, this is a special Halloween episode.
It's all about Christmas.
Hey, this is a really important episode. It's going to mark the first appearance of the Shat on VHS Rewind.
Yeah, that's right.
So this is not like, this isn't like the prime Shat, but I know I'll never get you to watch Star Trek V for this show. But
is that the one with the dolphin?
No, that's 4. 5 is where they meet God, and Shatner directed.
Oh, God.
So,
Is George Burns in that one?
That would be awesome. But this is a good sample of Shatner before Star Trek the Motion Picture. You know, he's in that sort of netherworld between the Star Trek series ending, but before Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Well, you know, I didn't realize that this was actually from 1977.
Indeed.
I had no idea. I don't know why I didn't even bother to look up what year it came out. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie, by the way. I did as well. I really did not expect to. I'm not always a big fan of Shatner. You know, I don't think he's a terrible actor or anything like that, but I find that a lot of the, you know, things that I've seen him in just feel a little dated, like T.J. Hooker or something. I know it's a bad example. But, you know, and he really hasn't... He just wasn't in too many things I really thought was very interesting. And then, you know, you brought up this movie, and I don't know, I did thoroughly enjoy this. So this was a good one.
See, I'm just the opposite. I know Shat is going to, especially in this period, like when he's honing the Shatness, I knew I was going to enjoy him. I wasn't sure. You know, believe it or not, I have never seen this before.
Really?
It's you know, it was on TV as a kid, and I can't believe I never seen this.
Yeah, me either. This one was an easy one to watch, and it went very quickly. Yeah, I'm really surprised that you never saw this.
And it's right up my alley. You know, it's one of those Nature Strikes Back. I was into Day of the Animals when that came back. You know, all the sharks and octopuses and all those other movies that were coming out at the time.
Yeah.
So it's really odd. You know, I saw Squirm, but I didn't see Kingdom of the Spiders. I don't know why. It's really strange.
Now, what was this rated?
Must be PG.
It has to be.
There's only one, you know, there were some webbed people, but there was no blood really. There's one great shot, which we're going to talk about when we get there, but there's only one, like, maybe, like, bloody shot, literally.
And a side boob.
Was there?
Yeah, there was side boob when the girl was getting out of the shower.
The blonde doctor?
Yeah.
I gotta go examine that. That chick was super smoking hot.
Yeah, I mean, and it was rated PG.
It was PG?
Yeah, PG.
I don't mean to offend any women out there in our audience, you know, with the crude, reductive comments about the female lead, but she is smoking hot.
I don't know. It's not too acceptable.
And this episode is going to be, again, we're treading a line here because, you know, I'm not sure, but I think a certain presidential candidate must have watched this as a young lad and picked up and studied and perfected all of Shat's moves with the ladies in this movie. Because
Shatner was a gentleman.
He is a sexual predator in this movie. He is just so like...
He's a scoundrel. That's, you know, he's on the prowl.
He is a Billy Bush made him do it.
He's the only good-looking guy for like 100 square miles.
And he's got a name... Rack.
Yeah. I was like, what
he is a stud with a name like Rack.
How'd you get that name? And there's a whole story there.
There's a whole story that we're going to play. It's very affecting.
Well, let's go to where the first sexual assault.
So as the movie opens, we're not even 5 seconds into the movie. Well, we're 2 minutes in after that incredible opening song. And that's not the last we're going to hear of Dorsey Burnett, I might add.
Thankfully.
Everybody in this town listens to Dorsey Burnett because anytime we're in a room and there's a radio on, we're in a car and there's a radio on, Dorsey Burnett is playing. I don't know what this guy...
He grew up there, so everyone like loves him.
I don't know who he was friends with on this production, but he is all over this thing. I'm surprised there's no soundtrack album.
That would be a good album.
There's a couple of other, besides the songs... There's a couple of other great music cues that we're going to play because they're just incredible. Can I just mention a few credit things on this movie?
Sure.
You know who edited this movie?
Who?
The person who became, I think, an Oscar-winning writer. The editor credit is Steve Zalian. And I looked it up, and it is the famous writer of Schindler's List.
Really?
Gangs of New York. I was like surprised by that. I was like, "Nah, this is going to be a foolish dead end." But no, it really is. According to IMDb,
it's like 20 years later, he's
a writer.
Wow.
The producer on this, Igo Cantor. He is a lot of music credits. He's a producer. He's also music supervisor on this. So maybe Dorsey was friends with him. But this guy also produced Hardly Working, one of VHS Rewind's favorite movies,
yeah,
with Jerry Lewis.
I don't know.
Okay, that's all I wanted to just point out.
I haven't seen – I think I did see that movie. I don't remember when or why.
But you loved it.
I like Jerry Lewis. I'm a fan of Jerry Lewis.
Especially late period Jerry Lewis.
Well, yeah. I mean, if he were to put out a movie right now, it might be excellent. It might be the best movie I ever saw.
So as the movie opens, Shat is riding with some female. We're not told who yet, but here's what happens.
All right, here we go.
They're corralling a cow. To shoot his ass full of a needle.
Well, it's almost like they're trying to give him probably. I mean, he's a vet.
Yeah, he's a doctor, Dr. Rack.
So he was probably giving him some type of booster. Here we go.
That was adequate.
Adequate? What are you talking about? It's damn good and you know it.
That was adequate and you know it.
What do you say, Steer? Steer says, did a good job. Adequate.
Rack, you wouldn't dare.
Come here, little boy.
Oh, you
come
wouldn't
here.
Dare.
Come here. Come here.
No, Rack. No.
He's throwing it to the ground.
Stop it. No, stop. Damn you, John.
Uh-oh.
I may be a lot of things to a lot of people, but I'm not my brother.
I'm sorry.
And actually, what is this? Is it like a CB or something?
What?
Dr. Hansen, you have an emergency phone call from Walter Colby.
It's like a little band.
It's a beeper that talks.
Exactly.
Now, so Shat like forced himself on her and then violently threw her away, like when she called him by his brother's name.
Now, she's pretty good looking, too.
You know, I went back and forth in terms of the hotter of the two, because now Shat is this is his dead brother's wife, we learned later. Well, we're going to play that scene, but it's important to know that he's leading her on. And there's a couple of scenes that we'll play that point that out. But then the female doctor comes to study the spiders, and she's smoking, and he's like right after her as well. So he is a dog and a half.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but that's, you know, that's his reputation. And you got to keep up your reputation.
So right away, you know, Woody Strode is in this as a farmer, and his prize cow gets eaten by the, you know, gets bit by the spiders, and Shat's on the way to see Woody, and here is some Shat action instrumental music, even though all these there's nothing going on. He's just driving a truck from one place to the other.
Now let me ask you, his wife, do you know who she is?
I do not.
Okay, then I'll tell you in a minute.
Hope not.
Right?
Good surface.
Love that cue too.
So that was a pretty good little thing.
I think there's a lot of, I think that is like what they call a library music cue. Because I could swear I heard not only this, but a later one that we're going to play.
Well, here's the thing. Here's a little trivia that I can throw you. I have a bunch of trivia about this movie. And the bulk of the score was basically a film library, which was largely made of music cues by Jerry Goldsmith from various episodes of The Twilight Zone.
Get out of town, really? And I know I've heard
like that later one. That one you just heard. I'm sure I've heard that in The Twilight Zone.
I heard the later music cue that we'll hear definitely in that 1960s Spider-Man cartoon.
Yeah, like that makes sense. I hear that kind of thing.
But that must be what Igo Cantor as music supervisor was doing.
So let me tell you, Alta Vis Davis is actually the wife of Sammy Davis Jr.
Get out of town, really?
Yeah.
I was wondering why they were giving her such a big play.
Now you know.
She gets an introducing credit.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's featured prominently In the scenes with Woody, and then when Woody dies. And,
well, you know, it says introduced, but it was actually her third movie.
Dope.
Yeah, going back all the way back to 1974, but, you know.
And you know what? She was fairly good looking.
That's pretty good looking there, Sammy. another sly dog. You sly dog.
Woody's cow gets killed, and Shat sends out a sample of the blood, and that in turn brings back a female scientist who is smoking hot. It's Tiffany Bowling.
And she's driving a Mercedes, I think. I'm going to guess.
Oh, you like that car, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's a Mercedes 300 SEL, maybe. Or maybe a 450 SEL, which is a really, really fast car.
So here is Shat putting the moves on this chick. And if you hear the background, there's a car radio on, and it's Dorsey Burnett.
And I swear to God, dude, who else can pull off that pink shirt?
Nobody. Nobody.
He's dressed like he's 6 years old. Right?
I kept focusing on the belt buckle, which I had one of those really big ones.
Hey, you know what that sounds like? Dorsey Burnett.
Would you fill it up, please? A 2 XKE.
She's mistaking Shat for a gas station attendant. He looked
over at my friend. Oh, and
you know, it'd be great if he said, "Would a gas station attendant wear a belt buckle like this?" he has a huge, like, 3-inch platter above his. Oh, you know what? It says something on his belt buckle. Oh, it says, well, what's his nickname in this?
Rack.
Yeah, it says Rack.
It does not. How can it you does. See that?
I'm taking a screenshot. well, one of the loops are covering it, but it says Ack, so I'm going to assume it says Rack.
When you check under the hood, please don't get any grease on the paint.
Oh, no, ma'am. Wouldn't want to do that. Boy, I'll bet this car goes real fast, huh?
Mm-hmm. Is there a nice, quiet hotel in town?
Yes, ma'am. You just go down the road a couple of miles. And you'll see a sign saying Washburn's Lodge. ML fix you up.
Thank you. A little ha-ha friend said you wanted on the telephone. When I returned the exchange. Where's your lady's room?
You go around the building there and turn left at the end. It's on your left-hand side. It's out of order. You're going to have to use a men's room. That's right beside the ladies' room. I can show you the way. Stand guard for you.
No, thank you. I'll manage just fine.
Chicks her ass out as she walks away.
I understand Kobe's having a few problems out there. Nothing serious. The owner of this car wants it filled up. And don't get no grease on the paint.
You know, where's he at?
She is in the men's room.
Hey, wait a minute! What the hell is she doing in there?
Why don't you ask her?
That's a weird one. That's a weird, like, kind of trick.
So he deliberately sent her to the men's room for what reason? Because he's a dick.
Yeah, like exactly. Yeah, like there's no reason whatsoever except for the fact that he just wants to mess with her.
So word is getting out like a spider killed this calf, mm-hmm. and the mayor has to pay a visit to Shat. Because there's going to be, you know, again, this is like setting up that template where there's going to be a fair, there's going to be something with a lot of people coming, mm-hmm. a lot of victims coming, and the mayor has to tell Shat, can't have it.
Well, this is where the Jaws type of thing comes in.
Right.
You know, you got the, the town relies on it, you know, that type of thing.
Yep. And I like Murray Hamilton in Jaws as the mayor, but this guy's a close second, this mayor.
Yeah, he's, yeah. You know, and in the commentary, they said they definitely borrowed the idea from Jaws to do that.
Oh, you can't avoid it.
Yeah, how can you not? It's just a classic setup. Do you want to hear that line?
Let's hear that Q5.
By the way, they're just drinking Miller beer.
And you Miller said, beer. Lots
it's definitely
of Miller.
Miller beer.
And yeah, it's definitely Miller. And in a later scene, when we'll play that, it's always Miller. It's always Miller.
It's Pop Top.
Nothing else in this town.
And it's a Pop Top.
Looks like the mayor's car. It could mean nothing but trouble.
See, that mayor's car is a piece of junk. I wouldn't want to own that. It's like a four-door... Who cares? It's just an ugly-ass car.
Rack, what's this I hear about you planning to quarantine the Colby place? With the county fair only 3 weeks away, this is mighty serious business, man. Now, listen, you know in a small town like this, word gets around very fast. Yeah, I don't have to tell you. You know how the people are. They get upset at the least little bitty thing. There's a hell of a lot of money at stake here.
Sound like you need a beer, man.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah. Now, listen. Here's what I got in mind. If you find any problems out there at the Colby place, kind of keep it to yourself where you kind of have a low profile. You know what I mean?
And a Mercedes pulls up.
If this guy's a mayor, I'm fucking president.
That guy's awesome.
He's a fucking drunk.
He's full of corruption. That's how, you know what, on November 9th, this is the guy who's going to end up being like Supreme Court justice. I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
I'm going to bring back Pop Tops. And Pop Tarts.
Whatever happened to Pop Tarts? They, you know, they don't have Pop Tops anymore, do they?
Pop Tops?
Yeah, you know, where you pull the thing out.
You know what? You can still find a good Pop Top on a V8, on a small V8.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they still have them on. I buy them from time to time. The spicy ones I like.
I hate when I don't get the little key ring to keep when I open my beer.
My beer. I remember when I was a kid, like, those would be, like, you'd see them, like, on the street, and even now I think about it, and I'm thinking, you know, I grew up in the suburbs, like, why were there so many Pop-Tops around on the street? Like, it was just kind of strange.
Like just burned into the tar sometimes.
Yeah.
Up right. The road.
Exactly.
So this movie, it takes a little, it's spending a lot of time building up the town and, you know, the various relationships. You know, you got Shat interacting with everybody, with Woody and the sheriff there and the mayor, and, you know, of course the scientist when she shows up, and Shat with the dead brother's wife who happens to have a kid. So here I just want to play this last scene because this shows how Shat is just like, he's a hound. He's a hound.
Q6?
Q7, actually.
Oh, Q7. Oh, you're jumping around. So you can't.
Yeah, I'm jumping around.
That's all right.
Want to keep the character development going.
Well, they did, certainly. Here.
Hi, honey. How are you?
And this girl actually was turned down to be Carrie in Little House. No, I'm kidding.
Nate. Good.
But my cat ran away.
Your cat ran away? Well, don't you worry about your cat. He's a tomcat. He likes to prowl around.
Mm-hmm. Like not unlike some other people I know.
Who's that lady?
Are we still going on the ride tomorrow?
We sure are. You think I'd miss a chance to be with the prettiest little girl in Arizona? Not on a bet.
Want to hear my Uncle Ramus record?
I sure do. You go set it up and I'll be with you in a second.
Now, who's Uncle Ramus? Was he like a famous like little kid guy or...
I was gonna say it. I would have said like a kid's book.
Okay.
But I don't. What do I know?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Hey, I'm sorry about what happened the other day.
I don't know what you're talking about, lady.
Rick, you're a funny man. You won't be with your brother's wife, but you take care of her like you were.
What?
Isn't that like buying the cow and giving the milk away?
You don't quit pestering me. Yeah. One of these mornings, I'm going to show up and start milking that cow.
Well, just make sure your hands are warm.
Oh.
And then he puts his hands up like a spider. Like, Very strange connection between those two.
Now, Shat must know what he's doing. I mean, what did he just say? He's like, I'm going to...
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm going to grab the pee.
But as soon as this lady... as soon as this lady scientist shows up, there's Q8 where Shat is just coming on to her.
Well, you gotta get it where you can get it, you know? You can't just, you know... Let it, you know, you can't just let a good opportunity go away. He basically drives her off the road.
He does. I was going to say, this is how he picks her up. He's like, you know, drive her. He sees her driving, pulls up alongside her, cuts in front of her.
Again,
makes
car,
her stop.
His truck, I have no interest in.
She's very accommodating to this, to Shat, but.
Yeah, she's playing along a little too much, but I. Yeah. Here we go. By the way, are the levels okay on your end?
Yes.
All right, good.
Uh-huh. Well, you definitely have a convenient way of showing up, don't you?
Yeah, I'm kind of handy that way.
Mm-hmm. What, no girlfriend? Oh, what's the phrase they use out here in the wide open spaces? A little wham, bam, thank you, ma'am.
What?
She was into Uncle Remus, I wasn't.
Pardon me?
You're kind of pretty for a girl.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hampton.
Such a weird comment.
Where are you going?
Oh, dinner.
Don't mind if I do.
He picks her up.
What are you doing? Dr. Hampton, would you please put me down?
All right.
Wait a minute. Nobody drives my car. Excuse me, but you don't seem to understand.
Buckle up for safety, honey.
What the heck just happened? By the way, I just also want to throw out there that in the late 80s and early 90s, there was supposed to be a sequel to this, and Shatner actually signed on to it.
No way.
Yeah, and it never happened.
Ouch.
How crazy is that?
That would have been, especially with the end of this movie. How do you...
I can see one happening now.
I was thinking if you redid this, you know, a little, you know, up the spider action with CGI or whatever, you know, you can make it more... Hey, I'm going to give this movie credit for when the spider army organizes and attacks, it's pretty good. You know, they get the spider action really well for a low budget.
Well, they had 5,000 spiders for this movie, and they paid $10 for each spider. So it's $50,000 of their budget went to spiders.
Nice.
Yeah.
So like when that little girl there gets threatened by the spiders and they're all over
the
place.
That's horrifying.
That was a great scene. Like when she's on the swing and she can't get down because the spiders are all over the place and they're hanging on the fence behind her and all over the place.
Couldn't legally shoot that movie. I mean, shoot that scene nowadays, right? I mean, there's no way.
You know, so they do a lot of impressive stuff. Or I just liked when the spider army ultimately attacks. And causes, you know, some of it was a bit preposterous, you know, people just running around flailing and there's spiders all over everybody, but it was still pretty good. I was really impressed, and I was kind of creeped out too when Shat and his team get, you know, trapped within that inn.
Also, Shatner's drinking beer throughout this entire thing.
Yes.
They sit down in a restaurant and he orders a beer and a glass. Fancy.
And we have to play the scene because we have to understand why his name is Rack.
All right, here we go.
By the way, how the hell did you ever get a name like Rack?
Oh, I had a kid brother 2 years younger than me. Fool playing a son of a bitch you ever saw. And he never liked to work as a kid, and I did. And I used to kid him about it. And I'd say, you're not going to have enough money to spend on the girls on the weekends. Every Friday night. I'll be damned if he didn't get me into a game of pool and beat me for everything I'd earned that week. And he'd laugh, and he'd laugh, and he'd say, Rack 'em! And the name kind of stuck, and he started calling me Rack.
He lives around here, does he?
Small town.
No. He got killed in Nam. second day he was there.
Second day he was there.
That
the music.
Girl I told you I had to go see, that's his little daughter. I kind of look after her and her mother.
I see.
You know, those reports of yours, both those animals dying of spider venom. Why would spiders suddenly turn aggressive towards livestock? I mean, venomous spiders are loners, they're cannibals. If they don't have anything to eat, they'll kill and eat each other.
Food.
You want to order?
Oh, no, not right now. What I'm saying is that food could be the principal reason for the attacks on the cattle.
Mozzarella sticks?
What I mean is that through the excessive use of insecticides like DDT, we are inadvertently killing off the spider's natural source of food. So, in order to survive, spiders, as well as other insects, are having to readjust their eating habits and therefore becoming much more aggressive.
How do we get rid of them?
And
it should be noted they're sitting in Mill's Diner.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. With a nice view of a road.
Okay, so finally, like 50 minutes into this movie, I think we get our first our first human attack when Woody Strode is driving his car and spiders are coming up behind him on the chair. And actually, towards the end of the scene, like literally crawling on him, but he still doesn't notice because he's so into the Dorsey Burnett song on the radio.
Yeah, here we go. Well, it's a good song.
Turn me loose so I can fly. A woman's love tastes of wine. Don't hold on to fence me in. If you do, then goodbye, my friend.
Let me spiders are coming. There's Woody popping his head.
That the car would go driving off the cliff or something.
It does, but they don't show it. So there's
low
budget. Yep. So they organize. You know, they're discovering these hills of spiders. I guess they built like a little hive inside these little mountains.
Yeah.
And that was a creepy scene, except that here's Shatner and Woody and the lady scientist, and they're just walking right amongst these, pretty big mountains of spiders, and I wouldn't be out there. I'd be like, get out of here.
It's really interesting how comfortable they seem to be around all the spiders. In the extras, in the commentary, they mentioned how when they would call cut, everybody would run around with plastic, like Chinese food containers, and put them over each spider so they couldn't get away. And it was just kind of crazy. I mean, I don't like spiders very much. I don't know how you feel about them, especially large ones like that.
Not large ones, and large, like, furry ones. I don't mind, like, a everyday spider that's, like, no bigger than the palm of my hand.
Right. Like, if I can blow on it and it can, fly away, like, I'm not too worried about the spider.
And if I see one, like, in a web, like, working on a web, I might even sit and watch.
Yeah.
But like what Shat does on this, having them crawl all over him and what a lot of people do in this, like the way the brother sister gets it and they're just all like crawling all over her. I couldn't, as an actor, I couldn't even do that.
For money, you couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it. Really it's about at this point, though, that the deaths start happening with more frequency. Mm-hmm. And they organize a crop duster to spray those mounds of spider
the crop
things
<buster.
laughs> and the spiders are really smart and they lay in wait within his airplane, and when he's in the air they attack, sort of like kamikaze spiders, I guess, because
so
they know they're gonna die.
We're jumping right to that scene.
Yeah, crazy. Just so folks can hear this scream of this male, male airplane pilot.
Now, I have a friend who just went to British Columbia, I think, up in Canada. Or, I'm not sure, he went up there for, like, elk hunting. You know, he went on, like, this, like, ridiculous expedition. So he actually flew in a plane like this, like a two-man type of thing, you know, like the Red Baron type of thing.
Nice.
And, I just saw him tonight at our Cub Scout thing, and I brought up this scene to him. I'm like, what would have happened if you looked down and you saw Spider? He said, I swear to God, I would have, like, started screaming and probably fell out of the plane. But this is what basically it would sound like if my friend Bert had a spider in his airplane.
It's what I would sound like.
Yeah, me too. Scream.
That was it. And what's great about that scene is that the crop duster, who's been flying all over the town, somehow finally crashes his plane heading right towards Shatner and the lady scientist and stuff. I thought that was pretty good.
Scene. Yeah, it was a pretty good scene.
I liked that a lot.
Yeah, it looked pretty good.
And then Woody Strode, who's dead by now, but his wife gets it, and the spiders are attacking. And she has a gun.
Oh, it's so funny.
And she's shooting, like, randomly. I don't think she's hitting anything.
But she has one on her hand.
So what do you do when you have a spider on one hand and a gun in the other? And the music cue here is the one that I heard in the Spider-Man 60s cartoon. Ironically enough, Spider-Man.
Here it is. Shoots at a spider that's on your hand.
And there's some good carnage to the hand there at the end. So that's the only thing that would have given this thing more than a G rating.
Holy cow.
This is when the carnage starts. It attacks the town, this little dinky town, and it's causing everybody to run all over the place, and they're all the spiders all over everybody, and Shat holes up in this inn with the lady scientist and a few other folks. And I like the way they have the spiders coming in from every nook and cranny. I thought it was really a nice suspenseful scene and kind of creepy too.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like spiders, and you'll definitely get the creeps from this.
Absolutely. You want to hear a funny story? So I was watching this the other day, and everybody had gone to bed, and now I'm going up to bed. And on my front door, we have, a big spider thing over the window,
right?
Which I forgot about, and the moon was very full the other night, so it's lighting up the spider through the. And I scared the shit out of myself when I looked up and saw that.
Yeah, I mean, my arm had like a little tickle to it, and I was like, "What the hell?" It's definitely that kind of movie. It's like, it's a creepy, suspenseful, sticks with you a little bit movie. But I think this would be okay for a kid to watch.
And it climaxes with a really great apocalyptic scene where, again, forget the low budget for a second.
Kind of creep show-ish, I'd say, at the end.
Yeah, and so everybody's had a fitful night's sleep. And so they look outside to find that the town has been, cocooned by the spiders. And, you really see no escape for the survivors. And as Shat is making this discovery of the, he looks out the window and sees that the town is cocooned, and everybody comes over and sees that the town is cocooned and realizes they're up Schitt's Creek.
Yeah.
Who's playing on the radio? The radio's playing. And if you want to play this scene, it really works for me for But again, seeing the town cocoon like it's obviously a painting, but and with this music playing, I don't know, it was really kind of creepy and it was really effective.
Well, are you talking about the end or are you talking about Q15?
15.
Okay, here we go.
Well, good morning, you happy folks out there in the land of paradise. Oh, this is a glorious morning. The sun is shining. There's not a cloud in the sky. The temperature right here at your favorite neighborhood station is a beautiful 61 degrees, and it's warming up real good during the day. I hope you're all going to stay tuned for some good old homespun country music with your friendly host here, Uncle Bill.
Who the hell cares about Uncle Bill? What about us?
We got a pile of albums here, must be a mile high, and all your real perennial favorites. Nothing like good old country music to wake us up on a fine, bright morning like this one. The news and everything that's happening on the local scene will follow, but right now let's get into a good song with Dorsey Burnett and his country kicker pickers with a salute to peaceful Birdie Valley, a great place to live in.
Jesus Christ.
That Dorsey Burnett again.
Damn you, Dorsey. Maybe the spiders like the Dorsey music.
Down in the valley, who knows what tomorrow may bring.
Sweet Jesus.
Will it bring the love we need to last forever?
Bring the love we need.
I thought that was a really good movie.
I was really impressed by it. And I'm an adult. You know, I know I would have liked it as a kid.
Yeah.
But I really like it now.
You know, it's weird. I think when you see a movie like this or you hear about a movie like this, I don't know, I think you expect it to be a lot gorier.
Yeah. Well, it's the 70s. It's not going to be that gory.
Well, you think...
It's been a long time since I've seen, Day of the Animals or... Squirm was pretty... I think that had some pretty good...
Yeah.
Stuff in it. Some good... Not necessarily gore, but, you know, worms coming out of people's faces, I remember.
Yeah, like, stuff like that. You just don't get that in this movie.
No.
So,
again,
yeah.
you get a couple of good... arresting images of the aftermath where the spiders have webbed over their victims, and I think that's pretty effective.
Yeah, all in all, I thought it was a very good movie. I enjoyed it, and
the Shat is the man.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he did an excellent job. Now I'm thinking instead of jumping into more horror, we're going to be jumping into more holiday in the future.
Yeah.
I really wanted to kind of revisit what we did 2 years ago with the Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Okay.
Which, so, you know, just throw your ideas around and, you know, give it some thought. Yeah,
the,
I'm
the
not
The problem
really...
is finding a Thanksgiving Day Parade, though.
They're out there. We just need to dig around. But, all right, Chris, well, thanks a lot for getting together tonight. Again, this was an excellent, excellent movie.
And everybody should go see it.
Absolutely. You could probably find us on YouTube.
I think we're going to do another Halloween episode before Halloween. Yes,
right.
We are.
If we have the time. We got 2 weeks.
All right.
All right, man. I'll talk to you next time.
Ciao.